And thank you, Shirley, for the wonderful piano. Appreciate that so much. And for all those wonderful folks out here who was gracious enough to sing with me today, all those who are online who participated, thank you. The name of the message today is called Come Out From Among Them. Come Out From Among Them. And isn't it true how in today's world, today's day and age, that the world has lost its way? People have lost their way, haven't they? People have been soaked in the brine of, as Pastor used to say, in the brine of deception of many kinds. And especially when it comes to religion. Especially when it comes to religion. There are false prophets, false teachers. How that they used to have this Toronto movement, and that you would see these men barking like dogs. I saw one pastor who had a leash on one of his people as a dog, as this man was walking the ground in the front of the of everybody, walking around like a dog, barking, and he had a leash on him. And people were rolling around and flipping around and making a big scene, yelling and screaming, and you know that that's not of God. That is inappropriate. Inappropriate. I saw how one time this, oh my goodness, I'm thanking God that I can't remember his name. But Kenneth Copeland, that's his name. I remember how that he would, oftentimes he would sit there and say, he would have this doctrine, it's a false doctrine. And this is all about Babylon I'm talking about. This is the Babylonish system. This is what people are being fed. And Kenneth Copeland would sit there, and he still does it today. He thinks that we're little gods. He's got that little gods doctrine, just like Joyce Meyer and all those cronies, Creflo Dollar and all these others, who look, and what a fitting name that is for Creflo Dollar, a multi-millionaire 20 times over, $80 million a year salary, Creflo Dollar. Selling books, magazines, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements. He's made it's a business for these people. It's about the money. Some names just seem to fit, don't they? And how that this Kenneth Copeland would sit there in front of his, these people as they would come up, and he would say, "I absolve you from all your sins." And I do this and I do that. And he goes like this, and he goes, "And I won't tell this guy some of the things that you've done." Man. And then he would speak and talk in a blasphemous manner in such a way over and over. Benny Hinn would do the same thing. Telling that he would mow people over with a Holy Ghost machine gun if he had a chance. These are what goes on in these mega churches all over the world, all over the country. I saw a Nigerian pastor who, as somebody came up to confess their sins or they had a fault, and it was a woman, and she was a witch, and this Nigerian pastor slapped her as hard as he could across the face. And instead of graciously talking to her and pleading with her to, you know, to repent and warning her, he's taking it upon himself to do a work that's not his to do. And slapping this woman across the face over and over again. That's the kind of system that's out there. The Lord leads and He guides. He doesn't sit there push and prod like Pharaoh. And we'll be going there today. There are many other stories and situations and scenarios the world over. There was a time in the Catholic convent where young women are believing in the system, believing in the fact that they would go into this convent and that they would actually serve God. This was their thought pattern. They thought that by doing that, they would be pleasing to God. Well, and that's all good and well. And we understand when you're young, there's only so much that you know. I was young, I was Catholic too. So I know how that is. That's all some people ever know. And this young woman found out later as she had to... They would do all these various ceremonies in these convents with these young women. One of them of which they had to wear a wedding gown. Only the thing is their parents had to fork over the money for it. As these sister superiors would write these vigorous letters asking for money for their wedding gown for their daughter. If they only knew what was really going on behind those doors. These parents who have allowed their girls, a lot of times ignorantly, to go in to pray for people and to find out that their daughters are being molested, tortured, abused. How this one woman was made to wear a black veil walking down and had to lay in a coffin for 9 hours. 9 hours in a coffin, but wearing a black veil. And how that by punishments of this or that, she rebuked this priest because this priest wanted to have sex with her. The only reason why a priest would go to a convent is to have sex with a young woman. How tragic is that? How tragic. But that's what happens in these convents. And if they don't comply, they're punished. And did you know that these convents have dungeons? Did you know that? And this one woman was left for 9 days and 9 nights as they strung her up by her thumbs. And she had to hang there in her own filth, in her own same garments. They would take her and strip her and whip her with metal lashes, and her back would be shredded. These are the kinds of things I'm trying to paint a picture to you of what's in the Babylonian system when the Lord says, come out from her. Be ye not partakers. Be ye separate from them, and I will receive you, the Lord said. There is only one hope, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus and His way, not in man's way. Man's way is full of pitfalls, traps, and snares. Instead of right now, I would want to open up in Exodus, but I'm going to ask you to first go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. kind of changing things up a little bit here. Here, I want to read, starting in verse 1. But the Babylonian system is full of false doctrines. And it has daughter churches all over the world that follow, that give money. You see, with the Catholic Church, it's all about money and control. Did you know that? Money and control. Coercion. Theft. Wickedness. All these things, as Doug mentioned, pride and all these other things that go on in these churches. And if we're not careful, we can bring Babylon into our own hearts. We can go back to it by allowing us to do certain things again after the once we've been delivered from it. If we allow that to happen, then we, what's called as backsliding, you know, the Lord would want us to put our hand to the plow and not look back. Amen? So let's go there to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Oh, to receive the grace of God in vain. Spinning your wheels spiritually. To be deceived willfully. To feign to be a brother or sister in Christ. To feign to know the Lord. To think that you're all right and you're saved, you're going to heaven. When in fact you're going to hell in a handbasket. When the Bible clearly tells us and instructs us to come out from her. It says here, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Did you know that there's a time that is accepted for you? There is a time accepted. That time of acceptance is right now, today. When you hear that truth, you're responsible with what you do with that truth. Oftentimes, however, the Lord is long-suffering, patient, and kind, not willing that any would perish. But it goes on to say here, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. For some people, tomorrow never comes. Quite frankly and literally, tomorrow may not come because the Lord's coming back soon. He could come back right now. And where would people be? Because once you enter into eternity, like that angel who had one foot on land and one foot on the water. That time, all it takes is one moment to step across into eternity. A one moment in time, and it's over with. And it goes on to say, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. We are to be blameless, consistent in our life. We are to be holy as He is holy. To be pure as He is pure. To be chaste. To be blameless. To be above reproach in this life. As much as you are able and as God gives you the grace to do so. On a day by day and a moment by moment time in your life. Because we are ever going towards the cross, not from the cross. ever going towards heaven, not away from heaven. You're climbing a mountain. You don't just sit there and rest on a ledge. You keep climbing to greater heights. And you take back the ground that the devil stole from you. Amen. And it says here in verse 4, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God." We are to approve ourselves as ministers of God, as flaming ministers, full of the fire of God in us. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Now there's a lot of suffering that goes on for the cause of Christ out there. But in the church world today, as we know it, people don't understand or realize what suffering really is. Until you've been out there. Until you've suffered for the cause of Christ. It could be in the church, it could be as a missionary, it could be other things. But the one thing the Lord looks at and the one thing the devil looks at is a changed heart. When your heart is changed, when you decide in your heart that you're going to change, that's when all hell is going to break loose against you. When you make that decision for Christ and you're going to turn away and you're going to repent and walk away from all those things that have previously captivated your life, you can be assured that the devil is going to come barreling at you with both guns drawn, cannon fire, anything he can find to dissuade you, to discourage you from doing the right thing. In stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. You know that there is such a thing as being tried in many ways. But how many have gone to that place where you are fasting and watching in the middle of the night? Praying, waiting on God for your family, for your friends. So completely sold out to God that the only thing that matters is that you're pleasing Him. These poor convent women who go in thinking they're going to do that are so deceived. It ought to break everyone's heart to see what happens to these young women going into the convent, into the Catholic system. Oh, what a terrible thing to think that you're going to be saved by works and not by the grace of God, not by faith or the blood. In fact, they say you've got to spill your own blood to be good enough. You've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to suffer and you've got to walk on your knees up these steps and you've got to parade yourself around for others to see that you're suffering. It's all a big show. It's all vanity. It's a lost world out there. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, oh, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. That means that you're not faking it. I heard somebody once tell me, you've got to fake it until you make it. That came out of the false church that I went to when I was first, when I had first become a Christian. Fake it till you make it. All that Joyce Meyer false doctrine. All this wishy-washy stuff that's out there. And it's going to do you no good to stay there. The best place for anybody is to run as fast as you can from those institutions. Run for your life. It goes on to say here, by the word of truth, by the power of God. The word of truth. How many know that truth has fallen in the streets today? How many know that truth is being trampled upon? How many know that truth has always been the first casualty of war? Truth, a very rare find anymore. A real treasure when you find it. The Bible says, and it talks about how that those that find that treasure in the hidden field, that's what the kingdom of heaven is likened to. Are you digging for that treasure? Yeah. It's hidden somewhere in the open field. It's there. Are you diligently seeking after God's kingdom? Are you diligently seeking for that truth? That treasure? That one true God? The Lord Jesus Christ who is able to save. That same God who is able to destroy all those who reject Him on that day. That's nothing to play with. Nothing to play with, my friends. By the armor of righteousness. And here was this Kenneth Copeland telling people that he had all righteousness in him. And that by his righteousness, he had the authority as a little God to take away your sins. Here's the same man, Kenneth Copeland, who, as this one man came up and he was speaking in tongues. And here this Kenneth Copeland started making a game of it. And he started speaking in tongues to the man that was standing right here. And they started holding a conversation in tongues and laughing and rolling around and like they're having an everyday discussion. Like they're sitting by the water fountain on a break time and having a discussion and laughing and having a good old time. That's what Kenneth Copeland was doing with this, whoever he was, talking back and forth in the front of the whole congregation. Now that is blasphemous. You imagine being caught up in that nasty trap of a place? That's the kind of stuff that goes on in Babylon. That's Babylon. It goes on to say here, on the right hand and on the left. Oh, with the very powerful right hand of God, He saves your soul. Praise God in heaven for that. By honor and dishonor. Did you know that though there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor? That dishonor God? That are vessels of unrighteousness? reserved for that day when they enter into eternity and fall straight into the depths of hell. But they first must be judged. They first must stand before God and give an account. They first must stand before a holy God in heaven and witness the wondrous majesty of Almighty God and have a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, and then be sorely judged and rejected by the very one they rejected their whole life on that great day. By evil report and good report. You know, we're to have a good report. We're to bring a good report. We're to live a good report. The evil report are for those who reject Christ, are those who will scatter slander among themselves like they're drinking water as freely as it comes and goes. No fear, but always speaking an evil report about something or someone. Always. Always looking for fault. Always looking to blame somebody, somewhere. Always pointing that finger with three fingers pointing back. Self-condemning themselves and they don't even know it. It's a frightful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. That day is coming, friends. And it goes on to say here, as deceivers, and yet true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. What is Paul talking about? Paul's talking about dying to the world, dying to the flesh, dying to sin, to the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, lusts of the world. All these things that captivate your attention, that captivate your heart more than the things of God. These are idols. This is idol worship. These are lustly things that are harmful for you and to you. And for all those that are in your household that is allowed to do things, even friends or distant family. You know, I don't celebrate Christmas anymore. In fact, the first time I heard about it, I decided I don't want to be a part of it. That was many years ago. I think now it's probably been about 12 to 15 years I have not celebrated Christmas. I even gave my TV a kick butt. I dumped it in the garbage trash bin. I threw that thing away, that one-eyed devil. I got rid of it. I got rid of a lot of things in my life. The Lord was cleaning me up. I got rid of all the fringes of society. All those little things that like to hang on to you. I got rid of the desire to celebrate Easter, knowing after a while begin to know what it's all about and what it signified. And Halloween. And how that I used to go to this church and they would have Halloween parties. And all these other things that people celebrate that's in Babylon as though it were normal. As though it were normal. And all they have to do is look over the edge. if they can only see eternity. Belshazzar found out the hard way, didn't he? When he was judged of God, drinking wine from the chalices that were meant to be in the house of God, a mockery. You can't mock God and get away with it. You can't mock God and expect God to wink at it. When the Lord gives you an understanding, and when the Lord gives you knowledge about something, He's also giving you a choice. It's also a test. As the Israelites, as we'll be going to Exodus, we'll read how that when He gave them, He delivered them, but He also tested them. Once He was gracious to them and He set them free, there are tests along the way that you will have to subscribe to or reject. There are tests along the way in your life. The Lord is going to test your heart to see what way you'll go, to see what choices you make. You can be assured of it. Goes on to say here, and dying, and behold, we live. Oh, we live in Christ. We live because He lives. We live because He is the one who gives us that life. He gives us that victory like no other. There's only death in the world. There's only decay in the world. The world is falling apart at the seams. And people continue to do things unabated. They continue to celebrate, dance in the streets with all this stuff that they do, half naked. And they don't think twice about it. Like people dancing around the golden calf. Goes on to say here, as chastened and not killed. God loves those He chastens. The Lord will always chasten those that He calls His own. He requires you to obey. The Lord has requirements in our life. The Lord expects us to walk in obedience to His Word. It's not something that we can just wink at and pretend it's not there. Because truly, there will be no such thing as arrogance or ignorance or anything of the like on Judgment Day. There will be no excuses. Because the Lord is giving you opportunity every day to search His Word. To search out the Scriptures for what they say diligently. And it's not a trap. It's meant to set you free. It's meant to help you, to deliver you from death. Now, God's ways are not our ways. He's going to take you the way of the wilderness journey. There is no such thing as shortcuts. He's going to take you through that time of testing, trial, and tribulation to prove your faith, to prove your commitment. Are you truly married to the Lord? Are you espoused to Him? Or is He still a stranger to you? Are you seeking a divorce from the Lord? We know how the Lord hates divorce. And in more ways than one. And it goes on to say here, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Oh, praise God, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Did you know that you can be sorrowful and yet have that joyful peace in your heart? To know that you can walk according to the Word of God in your life, that it can be as real as anything that you do, the air that you breathe, the food that you eat. But it is more real, the things that you can't see. What is your real bread and meat? Your real wine is the words of God that gives life, spiritual life, instruction for you. It's a help, not a hindrance. And it says here, yet always rejoicing. Oh, as poor, yet making many rich. How does that work? You can be poor in this world, but yet you can have the rich treasures of God. The rich treasures of mercy and grace and truth. The treasures of virtue, strength, hope, and faith. Things that help you to overcome the world, sin, death, and hell. Things that help you to override and overcome every obstacle in your life. To make and to prove your faith. To be counted worthy. Oh, praise God. It goes on to say here, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. In other words, there's room. I'm growing. And we can help others. We can help others find the help that they need. Unselfish. There's room for more at the cross. There's room for more at the foot of the cross. Are you willing? Are you able to partake in the goodness, the mercies of God? Are you willing to receive the gifts that God has waiting for you? Ye are straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for recompense, in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. That's being straitened, unconforming. Being straitened is walking in truth. Being straitened is having true faith in God. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What does that mean? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There are many churches full of unbelievers, full of false doctrine, which makes that place a place that is unequally yoked if you are truly a child of God. If you are a child of God, a man or a woman, child, and you allow such a thing, if you go to a church that is nothing but false doctrine and compromise, and it's okay to celebrate Christmas, it's okay to celebrate Easter, it's okay, we're going to have a Halloween party, well, for kids nonetheless. A great way to just be a witness for kids, isn't it? Oh, they got to have fun. We got to give them candy like the world. Be like the world. Talk like the world. Act like the world. Walk like the world. Isn't that what it's all about in these churches of Babylon? They don't care for your soul. They're not accountable to God, and they're certainly not accountable to you. Because they don't love you enough to tell you the truth. That's why. They don't love you enough to tell you the truth. And it goes on to say, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" With unbelievers, truth breakers, incontinent, all these people who wax worse and worse and worse. Are we to have fellowship with them? Are we to yoke up with them? Are we to sit together and eat and drink and be merry with them? The Bible says no, we're not to. The Bible's very clear, the Word of God. The King James Version of the Holy Word of God is very clear. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Friends, we could go many different ways there, can't we? I've hit on that many times. But my challenge to you is just look within your own heart today. Ask the Lord, am I doing right by you, Lord God? Am I taking a stand? And am I holding up that banner of truth? And am I holding up that standard, Lord God? Am I standing separate from in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation? Am I taking a stand against wicked, evil men who all the day long gnash their teeth at me, tell lies, walk in deception, and want me to come along with them? Is that what walking in the light is all about? No. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Did you see that? Praise God. Amen. Because it says His, I will dwell in them. There is a living God who knows how to dwell in His own people. Praise God in heaven for that. He once had a temple, but now He's got a temple for His people. Amen? The people are His temple now. That's what it's like now. That's what it's all about. It goes on to say here, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Wow. Walk in them. He'll walk the corridors of your heart. He's going to sup with you and dine with you and abide with you. But will you abide with Him? Are you that living temple of God, walking above reproach? I will be their God, it says here, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Did you see that? As a father, if you're a father, you can identify with being a father to your children. Having that love, concern, that wherewithal of what will be good for your wife and for your children, because you love them. You're a father. And you take that responsibility seriously. It's nothing that you just wink at, because there are lives at stake. There are souls at stake. People look up to you. Well, that's what the Lord is saying here. We ought to look up to the Lord. He will be a father to us. He cares, He'll dote upon us. If He had a picture of you, He would have it in His wallet. He'd have your picture, your name, right there in His wallet.
Oh, thank you.
That's the way of the Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I praise God for that. Now, that was all sort of preliminary. Now I'm hoping to get into the message. And the message today is out of Exodus chapter 1. And I praise God for His ability to lead, guide, and direct. Amen. I know that I probably won't finish it all, but this could end up being a bit of a series, because I'm going to be going through several books of Exodus in my message here, called Come Out From Among Them. And it goes on to say here in Exodus chapter 1. And this would have taken place around the year 1706 BC. And it goes on to say, and these people were in Egypt. We're going to see some names here that's going to span at the end of this time. Now, understand, the Lord is using this as a melting pot, a womb for the people of God to grow. This was a mother's womb, so to speak, where God would grow a clan into a nation. This was the time of the Exodus, a span of time that after they had come to that place where it was time to leave, it would have been 430 years. And during that time, you had five people that started out. That was Jacob, Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Bilhah. These were five people that started, and it grew into a clan. And then it grew into a nation, which at a 6% clip a year, at the end of 430 years, would have produced several million people by the time they were to leave Egypt. It goes on to say here, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all his generation. Joseph lived a good and long life after what another. He was a type of Christ. More probably so than anyone else besides the Lord Himself. Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And it goes on to say, and Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. I want you to see that for a moment. Because we know death is universal. Death comes calling to all of us. One fine day, death will knock at our door. And it's coming soon. But it goes on to say in verse 7, "And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them." Now I want you to start looking very close, because there's something very important I want to point out to you. And it goes on to say here, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto their enemies," or our enemies, which would have been the Hittites to the north of them. And it goes on to say here, "And they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land." In other words, always has it been since the beginning, fear has been a major cause of persecution. Fear has been a major problem when it comes to people being persecuted for their faith. They fear of what might happen. They're afraid of you, or they're afraid of this or that. And so they're going to persecute you. They're going to take you down to their level. Amen? That's worldly wisdom, craft by deceit, evil and wicked devices. And it goes on to say now, "Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." Oh, wow. Treasure cities. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel." We know that according to Isaiah chapter 54:17, talks about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. When you're living for God. It is once said, Tertullian wrote that the blood of the martyrs are the seeds of the church. And truly, that is the case. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. No matter how much we're persecuted, no matter what, the Lord will cause that to grow and grow some more. The faith will get deeper. There's something about being persecuted that will draw men towards the Lord. And it goes on to say, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved." They were grieved. Did you see that? "Because of the children of Israel." How many people are grieved over you? How many people are grieved at you because you live for Christ? Because you take a stand? Because you live holy? How many people are going to be grieved at you? And snipe at you, and gossip at you, and will fight you any way they can to get you out of there, to cause problems in your life, because you're different. Amen? And it goes on to say, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all the manner of service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Oh, the oppression. Oh, the oppression they put on these people. And how they took out those whips. It's just like that convent. These poor girls, they go into the convent. And they are physically and mentally abused. Tortured. Spilling blood. All because they thought they were going to serve God. But they were taken for a ride because they're in Babylon. They're in the Babylonian system. And God forbid that you should want to serve God. God forbid that you would preach or live for Jesus according to Acts chapter 2. God forbid. God forbid that. Huh? They don't want you to prosper spiritually, physically, financially. Why? They've got to control your life. You're under their thumb. You can't speak and you can't breathe until they tell you to. You give everything that they tell you to give and you take what they tell you to take. These convent girls would, the only thing that they would have for breakfast was a cup of coffee and a piece of bread. Then they would have to slave all the day long. They would have soup. It would be just vegetable soup. And it had no seasoning, no nothing. And that's all they had. That was all they had to look forward to. That was their meal. And it goes on to say, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shapara, and the name of the other was Pua. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live. They wanted every man firstborn or otherwise murdered. They wanted them murdered because they were in great fear that they would multiply. They wanted them to be downcast and controlled. And if they were to kill all these men for a period of time, they would lose that generation. And they would be weak. And it goes on to say, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. They had godly fear. Amen. And it goes on to say, and the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women... Wait, did I skip a verse here? 18. And the king of Egypt called the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. In other words, Christian women, okay? This is a parallel. I want to show you something. For they are lively. Are you to be alive in Christ? Women who know the Lord should be lively in the Lord. They should be alive in Christ. Amen? That includes men. But this is a parallel. This is a type and shadow. I want you to see that. Goes on to say here, and for the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They have divine favor. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Oh, praise God. They didn't lose their reward. God won't lose, you won't lose your reward either when you give a cup of cold water to somebody. And when you do what's right before God. When you won't subscribe to what the world will tell you to kill your baby. Or to commit fornication. Or to do this, or enter into this harlotry we have out here. It's all it is. It's a harlot system. And they want you to take off your clothes and get into bed with them. It's all harlotry. And God forbids it. It's an eternal mistake for your soul to do so. Amen. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. Did you see that? They became profitable because they were obedient to the Lord. They were profitable physically and spiritually. The Lord made a way for them because they obeyed God. You don't need the pharaohs of this world, which signify the devil and his angels. You don't need the pharaoh to come and tell you, I'm going to do this and that for you. What you need and what I need is what God has for us. Amen? Not what the pharaohs or the devil has. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Oh, the cruelty, the infanticide, all this murderous attitude that the world has. We know it because we see it today. All you have to do is look at what Monsanto is doing. All you have to do is look at who's a part of Monsanto. Bill Gates owns half of Monsanto. And we know all his cronies, all these corporations, Dow and many others. I could name names and name many other corporations that are involved with Monsanto that want to destroy your food, my food, genetically modify everything. They're looking to genetically modify humans now. They're looking to genetically modify trees. Everything that we do would be genetically modified or connected somehow to that schism that's going on in the world today. The ilk, that puke of the world. And they want you and me to swallow what they give us. I don't think so. That green slime that they put in the meat and all these other things that they put there, then they want you and me to eat it? These fast food restaurants, the genetically modified foods they put in the all the fast food restaurants? Be careful, my friends. Be careful what you eat, spiritually and physically. Be careful. Caution. Praise God. I think time is about up, but I want to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Probably not going to get through it today because time is about up. But just we'll do what we can. Amen. Praise God. Here what we have now is a time in the church world where the first persecutions began. Just like it started in Exodus in the Old Testament. And here in Acts chapter 4, we come to a time and place where the early church were beginning to be persecuted. Amen. And it goes on to say here, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." These opposers, these priests, Sadducees, and Pharisees, who always seem to come and want to challenge you. They're busybodies trying to get involved in your business, trying to snoop into your personal lives, and want to dictate to you how that you should live, how that you should conduct yourself, who you can worship and who you can't. It goes on to say here, verse 2, "And being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." How awful that any man or woman would preach Jesus. How awful that we would preach according to them. That we would preach being resurrected from the dead. Because, my friends, they are dead. They want you to be dead. They want you to live in the same death trap that they do. They want you to live in death and defeated, destroyed lives, full of chaos and no order at all in your life. But full of all the corruption and all the stuff that comes with it. Because they're dead, they want you to be a part of that. They don't want you to be alive in Christ. They don't want you to have the victory. God forbid. You might be a little happier. You might have some joy. You might have peace in your heart. You might even have victory over sin. And yet there is the world that wants nothing to do with you because of that. Because you're different. Amen. And the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you, saith the Lord." We'll pick this up next week. Amen. We'll end here. And I want to encourage all those here today and all those who are online to check out your life to make sure that there is not any residue collecting mold or anything of that nature in your life that's trying to cause decay. And trying to get some inroad, some avenue into your life that's left unguarded and unchecked. Check yourselves. Look to God. Guard your heart. Guard your faith. Guard whether or not you have good, sound doctrine. Make sure that you are in the faith. Check yourselves daily. Amen. Praise God. And we're going to end right there for now. And then we're going to sing a song or two. And then we have a wonderful lunch down there. It's a beautiful snowy day, and how I love to see that snow. Praise God. And we're going to go ahead and sing a few choruses.